Nearly 60 million Americans were affected by identity theft, and $14.5 billion was stolen from victims. $14.5 billion from these lazy criminals. Freezing your credit may stop the identity thieves from opening new accounts, but it can't protect you from other types of identity theft. There are so many ways these guys figure out and try to take advantage and take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against threats to your devices that you can't easily fix on your own. Firewalls, all that, you need LifeLock. If there's a problem, I mean, think about places that do get breached. Of course they have a firewall. It's not enough. You need LifeLock. And if there's a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go check out LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get on, got to get on, the judge that can get on, man, they
Wow.
Dr. Drew is board-certified physician. He's also his magwife. Getting some brackets and bros and
bees.
I tell you, man, I'm going to drill down on the Breezemizer. Jordan Harbinger's going to join us in a couple of few. I want to thank LifeLock.com, promo code Adam, TrueCar.com, and Pluto TV. Drew, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding, and I'm end of sentence. I'm not kidding when people say, like, I don't trust Ellen. She dances at the beginning of her show, and I didn't trust Rosie when she was at Cutie Patootie Chub Club, and I didn't trust Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby danced at the beginning of his show.
So dancing, you that's what makes you skeptical? Or the just being too one way, too cute?
I am not kidding when I say, because I feel it, which is, I am not interested in getting people to feel a certain way about me, because I feel like an even, fair, nice individual.
So you're not fighting to get people to see you a certain way?
No, I don't, like, it's funny, I was backstage, and I was like talking to Sarah Silverman last week at the Comedy Store, and she was laughing about a joke I used to say, but not on stage, not like in stand-up, but just as a joke that I had, which is, I'd say, black people, world's fastest human beings, world's slowest pedestrians. And then she's like, it's a funny joke. Too bad you can't do it, but you should sell it to Chris Rock. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. And she's like, why,
How could that be?
But how do you do it? And I'm like, because it's a joke and I'm telling a joke. And I think she's thinking, I don't have anything against black people, so I don't care. It's my feeling. And I don't think anyone should think I have anything against black people, so they shouldn't care. So I'm a sort of babe in the woods.
Right.
I'm an innocent. My thought is not polluted with any thoughts other than I'm making a joke. I don't have a, this is the way I feel. I do understand, and I think we've all been there, where you do have somebody and you don't care for that person. Like, there's somebody at the office, and I've had people that way. I've worked with them, and I don't like them very much. Like, I don't care for them very much. I usually do feel that internally, and then I overcompensate. I would never be rude to them or short or go. I never go like, yeah, I'm going out to dinner with Dr. Drew, and they go, what night? And I'd go, don't worry about it. I wouldn't say it. I'd feel like, oh my God, this person's going to find out. Instead, I'd go the other direction. Would you like to come out with us? Because I know they think I don't like them, so I'm going to make sure they think I do like them by doing this. I do that all the time.
But we live in a world where there's some sort of – the social justice warriors have determined social norms.
I get it, but first thing first, I just decided if I have a joke and I think that joke's funny, I'm going to tell that joke with a pure heart. I don't care. Number one, life's too short. But number two, I thought about that, and I've always thought about Ellen dancing and Rosie doing her thing and Bill Cosby dancing, and I realized I don't think these are good people, and I don't know what the impulse to dance is, but I'm wondering where it comes from.
It's interesting. They all dance, right?
Well, what I'm saying is this. I know plenty of good people who just are good people. Jimmy Kimmel's a good person. Conan O'Brien's a good person. They don't have the impulse to dance.
No.
Or to get you to think of them a certain
way.
And
it's always a certain kind of dance too, right? It's a kind of a cutesy dance.
It's silly and cutesy. Yeah. And here's what you should think of me dance. Mm. Now, Chris Brown can dance, but he's a good dancer. And he punches people in the face. But that guy can move. So all is forgiven. Right?
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, MJ dropped a couple of digits on a few 8-year-olds, but that dude could move. Did you ever forget that? Because we put a super high premium on dancing. But that ain't goofy dancing.
Right.
That's
goofy,
actual
goofy
dancing.
Goofy dancing is it. That's it.
So if you're doing goofy dancing and you're not a very good dancer.
You know what it is.
And you only do it on camera.
But you know what it is? It's putting that cartoon character veil between yourself and the audience.
I get it.
It's a cartoon character.
What do you want them to not see?
Everything. Because now you're a cartoon character.
That's where you sniffed.
Yeah. Because you're being a cartoon character.
I know, but
and why? Then you don't want anybody to even get near you, think about you as a person.
Right.
We don't want to get into that at all.
No, but my argument
here's what's bothering
not
me.
Not you, the genuine good person.
Right. But what bothers me about this is why David Alan Greer is not in our life anymore. Is there something about this that we should know or be thinking and that's troubles?
That dude can move.
Our friends. He's a real dancer, though. You know what I mean? I'm still bothered by that.
You are.
Yeah. You saw him where?
Well, you saw him on Porgy and Bess.
I did.
And what kind of name is Porgy? And I've seen him on Broadway. I don't know. You and I are very different that way.
About being bothered by stuff like that?
Yeah, I have no thoughts about it.
No, you told me if he doesn't like you, that's it. I'm troubled by it. I really am. You think it's funny? I don't think it's funny.
I think it's funny. I don't. Why are you troubled by it?
He was a friend of ours. We had a lot of fun with him.
Wait a minute. Is he, pardon the pun, blackballed you as well
yeah,
or just
yeah.
me?
I've tried to reach out to him many times, many different ways and get zero back.
But he would do that to you before you were. He was woke and you were.
Yes, and he wasn't
an
clear.
An alt-right guy.
No,
was
no.
Like the leader of an Antifa or leader of an alt-right movement.
No, he was mad I didn't see that play he was in that you saw.
Yeah. Oh, race.
Race, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got over that, I thought, because that was before I saw him at Porgy and Bess. I saw him a couple times in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys split up, and then now I can't get any response from him at all.
I think it's unhealthy of you to try.
It is, I suppose.
I think it's unhealthy of him to impose that on you. And I think it's unhealthy for you to pursue it.
It feels artificial, and that's sort of why I'm pursuing it.
What do you mean artificial?
Like if there really was something between us, I'd be like, all right, I got it. That's a relationship I don't want to pursue. But it feels like a misunderstanding, or it's artificial, or it's excessive, or something. And so that's what bothers me.
But that makes it more egregious.
It makes me more curious, I guess. I want to know what the problem is. Like what is going on? What are you thinking?
Well, something's wrong with him. That's what I'm thinking.
That's okay.
It's okay, but he's not processing information correctly. Or if he is, he's doing something wrong with that information once he processes.
That's okay too, and I'd like to straighten that out. No, you know that. You know what? You're onto something here. I used to have a fantasy fear.
First off, do you ever straighten anything out, really? But number one, but number two. Why straighten out something that somebody else imposed on you?
There's a friend.
All right. Go ahead. What was your friend?
I used to have a fear of some sort of weird fear of being accused of something I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
right? It's that same zone. And it's just a zone that feels very uncomfortable and troubling to me. That's all. So, and I like Dak. I liked him. I think it's sort of a relationship I would pursue. I feel like it's worth pursuing.
Mm. All right.
That's the other thing.
See, my feeling is, why would you want to have a relationship with someone who does that?
Well, if there's some real animosity there, it won't work out.
No. Why would you want to have a relationship with someone where the terms of the relationship is you can do almost nothing and I can cast you out of my life for years on end? Is that who you want to have a relationship with?
I feel like it's a I'd be surprised if that happened again, but you have a point.
Well, for you, you're going on your second or third time around, I believe. You had it. You got back into his good graces.
True, it is like a tie.
You had it again. Yeah. Like, so what do you mean? You think the likelihood of it happening again? It's already happened again, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a point.
It's happened twice, right?
Yeah.
What happened the first time? And how many years were you exiled?
I didn't promote something for him on the show, and I
on Love Line.
Yeah, and I didn't see race, and maybe a year and a half.
All right. Then you worked your way back in.
And then you guys had a problem, and then that was part of that, I guess.
All right. So now it's been some
time. 3 years, 4 years.
Okay. So according to you should go to a fucking Palanon meeting. Palanon for Drew and his pals dump him, and he wants very unrealistic things from them. Could sit around. Talk about other guy. I was a pal of Johnny Whitaker's in the fifth grade, and then he moved to Tucson, and we stopped talking. I think he works in the shipping industry now, but I wouldn't know. He won't return. I tried to get him. I tried to get him LinkedIn to me, man. He wouldn't do it, man. Palimony.
I give.
I mean,
Palanon.
Palanon. Sorry, that's something else. Drew's going to sue me for palimony in a few years, but Palanon is where you're going, Drew. Look, it's pretty clear David's erratic.
Yeah.
And you are going to run into this again if you could, work
true.
Your way in. All right, why don't we get Jordan Harbinger? I'll knock out True Car, and we'll bring Jordan in.
Speaking of pals that don't abandon us.
Palanon. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial is going to last. You know what else you can do in a minute? Get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car from your smartphone or your computer. Enter your license plate number. Watch your car's details come popping on up. Answer a few questions. You get an accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. Then bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together. Ask questions. Get answers. No surprises. Then leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So, if you want new, you go True Car. You want used, you go True Car. You want to leave with a check and leave your old car off and Uber home? Well, then you go with True Car. When you're ready for a better experience, a better way to sell or trade in your car, you check out True Car today. Jordan Harbinger, good to see you, my friend.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Drew's a little down. He's a little blue because David Alan Greer has blackballed him from his world.
Us.
Yeah, us. So.
Yeah, like I know he doesn't like you for some reason, but I didn't know he doesn't like you now.
I got caught in the crossfire.
That's guilt or association.
sounds about
collateral damage.
Jordan is the host of the podcast, Jordan Harbinger Show, and new episodes every week on iTunes and Podcast One as well. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting point, which is what do you do when people have decided certain things about you and then they may or may not be true, but that's how they feel. What do you do with that information, Jordan?
Yeah, you can't really fight people's emotions with like a logical conversation. And you guys have kids, so you know this better than me.
Sure.
You know, someone feels a certain way about it. And you see this in the news, too. People go, well, you know, I just don't like this. I think it was you, actually, Dr. Drew, told me about how you'll give a talk at a university, and then some freshman will stand up and kind of like disagree with your medical opinion. And you're just like, not to just throw the authority card at you, but I do have like X number of years of clinical experience as a physician, as a doctor, and you're a freshman who's taken one biology class.
You may not like it, but.
Right. So it's it, and you know that persuading those people, it's not impossible, but it can't
it's
be
so
done.
It's so weird to me that we've gotten, come into a world when I was in training in school, everything was about logical argument and evidence. Now everything's about persuasion.
Yes.
Because facts don't matter to anybody under any conditions anymore.
No, it's really
well, you guys have to – I think what we need to understand is they – whoever you're dealing with, the kid, the freshman, David Allen Greer, my daughter, my wife, yeah. Like they're jumping off the place, the springboard they're hitting is non-factual.
Yeah.
So they've launched themselves based on a non-factual evidentiary findings of nothing. So right. Good luck talking them out yeah. of their flight path when what got them airborne was something that didn't exist in the first place. So yep. You guys are kind of coming from a place where you know, I say, wait a minute, my keys, I couldn't find my keys when I got up this morning, and the car was parked in a different place. Were you out joyriding? And then you say, no, the mobile detailer showed up at 7, and I didn't want to wake you up. So he did it, and the keys, he must have left the keys in the entry hall. And then you go, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is to you is, I know you hate my car.
Yeah.
Admit it. Now, how am I going to talk you out of nonsense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's nonsense. If I can make an accusation and go, what's up with this? And I accuse you of that. And then you're allowed in a world that has gravity and evidence to go, here's what actually happened. And then I'm going to have a reaction to that, which is okay. Or next time, could you wake me up if the guy shows up early? Or some version of that. But if you're just sort of pie in the sky nothingness to begin with, how am I going to combat that with facts?
Yeah, I understand that. I think also the world that you came from, that I came from as a lawyer, in law school, and you in medical school, there was still authority back then, and this is only like 10 years ago or 11 or maybe 15 for me, something. I've lost count, and I've learned better than to try to do that math. There was authority back then. Now authority has been diluted, so you can't – and authority is not only diluted, there's authority that's just total baloney. Like, you get these conspiracy guys and whatnot that are just ridiculous. So now it's like, well, any sort of cockamamie crap you can think of, there's a quote-unquote source for it. So jeez. Your source might be like the manual or whatever, like this class you took from a world-renowned professor in a certain subject matter. And then another person's like, well, I read a blog though, and this blogger has quote-unquote done the research, aka Googled a bunch of other non-factual discussion forums, and they put that on par with the same authority that you have learned yours from, which is like years, decades of rigorous
study.
Then
they develop status in a community from this stuff, and it's you know, it's a social phenomenon at a certain point.
Right. The incentives are misaligned. They're not misaligned. I guess they're – yeah. Well, misaligned, right? Because there's – I think you guys were mentioning this earlier with the social justice warrior thing. There are people that get mad – and I'm sure you guys experience this. There are people that get mad at me for saying things like – I'll be interviewing someone and I'll go, yeah, we really need to have a little bit of a different diversity of opinion on the show. And someone will write in and go, hey, can you have more female guests? And I'll go, yeah, we're trying, but you know, it's actually really tricky, and it's tricky to schedule all guests. And then some like white dude with socks and sandals will write in and be like, how dare you? And I'll have to sanity check myself and go, what about what I said was even remotely offensive?
Right.
Oh, well, you're just not trying. You're making women feel like they can't join the boys club, and this is by design, and you're part of the problem. And then I'll reality check this with like sane men and women, and they're like, no, this is complete asinine BS. And also, I'll note, the guy doesn't send you a private email to do that. He posts it on like a freaking discussion forum.
Of course. But these people, they're so few of them, creating so much trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, it is few, I think.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right.
No, they actually studied. It's like 10% of the, like, say, the Twitterverse.
I'm surprised it's even that high, seriously. I think it probably started off as 1%, and then people were like, oh, I get attention when I act like a POS.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's people joining in, which is always the discouraging part to me. Somebody makes a pretty innocuous statement on Twitter, and I go, oh, that's nuts. And then everyone joins in and goes, you know, once that person dragged out and put into the town square and tarred and feathered. The part that's always discouraging to me is when somebody says something and it's not really offensive and people go, but they still shouldn't have said it. And I'm like, right. What does that mean? What do I care? Oh, come on. You can't say that in this day and age. And there's a lot of like, they should have known better. It's sort of like that. I guess it was like 23andMe and they did that commercial. I think it was out of Canada, so it was weird, but it was like black woman and guy and it was, you know, 1863 and he was like, come with me to the north, come with me to the new world. And it was like them sort of saying like, you don't know who your ancestors were or how it worked or what went on 150 years ago. And everyone just tore him a new asshole. Like, come on, you don't do that. And I was like, I don't know. It was kind of a nice thought, like in my mind. And everyone's answer is, sure, it's a nice thought, but come on, you don't do that. And I'm like, I don't know. He had like, it was a white man who was in love with a black woman. And it was, you know, 1863. And he was like, come with me. Come with me.
Where this is okay.
Where we can live together in peace. And they just got destroyed because the temerity of a white guy saying to a black girl or saving the black girl or this is gender and race appropriation or like whatever it is. And I was just like, I don't know. I wish there were more of those white guys back then.
Everyone's offended for a different reason. That's
I don't know who's really offended. Most people are offended. Yeah. They just sit there and go, come on, you don't do that. I'm like, I don't know. We'll find the commercial. Gary will find the commercial. I'm sure they took it down and everything.
Yeah,
it's blackballed from the internet.
There's a lot of that where you go, you don't do that. And I'm just like, well, okay, let's try to figure this out. Do you think the people who made the commercial are racist?
Like, no.
No? Okay, well, that's a help. That's a start in the right direction. What message do you think they're sending? And by the way, everything can't be condescending. Like, oh, so you're saying that woman needs a white man to say, well, in that particular time, wherever they were in this country, in the South, yeah, I'm saying it would be helpful if he was trying to get her to San Francisco. Wouldn't you? I wish that was my great-great-grandma.
I mean, factually, it was a rough place for people of color back then, but times 100. So, yeah, that would have been helpful. It's not racist to state something like that.
And hold on. 23andMe, young interracial couple fleeing to the north. That was like a discussion on trying to tell Gary his marching orders here.
I think part of it is since the rules are so confusing now, everyone's like, well, you just shouldn't talk about that. But that's not the answer to an ambiguous situation, especially socially. If the rules are confusing, you should talk about it more so that people hash these things out and we figure out what the hell we want to make acceptable and what we don't want. We don't just want to go, you know, let's just never talk about this again. That's what causes the problems in the first place.
Hey, I need a legal opinion from you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. In the state of New York.
In California. We have politicians that are allowing people to die in the streets and endanger the overall population. I want to remove their qualified immunity so we can go after them for reckless negligence.
Oh, my gosh.
How do we do that?
Well, I'm only – my excuse is I'm a New York certified –
But qualified immunity is a constitutional standard, isn't it?
See, you already know more about this than me.
Okay. All right. Because I'm hell-bent on this.
I mean I think part of that is – and I would have to check this, as all good lawyers would do. You only get qualified immunity, as far as I recall, when you're acting in a certain within the confines of the office. Like, you can't just walk out in the street and be like,
right. But they're making horrible – they're doing reckless and negligent things from that office. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So maybe I could find a way that they made bad decisions at the Starbucks or something while they're in their free
time. Yeah, or you could say, look, this is beyond the scope of what you're able to decide in office. Mm. You're actually – or that it's deliberate in some way and therefore it violates a constitutional statute, which is very possible.
Mm. We have the answer – oh, it's Ancestry.com. Sorry, it's not 23andMe. But I'll play for you guys. And I don't know. Gary can probably find some of the response to it. But people are outraged by it. But I'm always I'm the weirdest person in the world because I sit between people who are outraged and I just go, I don't get it. Anyway, black woman, white man running.
Abigail, we can escape to the north. There's a place we can be together across the border. Will you leave with me?
Without you, the story what?
Stops here.
Uncover the lost chapters of your family history with Ancestry. Get started for free at Ancestry.ca.
Was Abigail Wilson, now you got to look, because if that was a real person and she did do this, then you get grandfathered.
Also
get grandfathered in.
Worth pointing out that that appears to be an Ancestry ad for Canada.
Yeah,
it is, but they showed it here. But
I can show
whatever.
You a bunch of the different outlandish or upset tweets if you
people
like.
Are upset. Now, I look at that and I go, good, white guy trying to help black chick in 1863 or whenever it was. Do you guys, what were you guys, what's your, what's
overly
your,
romanticizing?
What's your take on that? What's your read? What's your out, how outraged are you? I don't know. I'm willing to admit I miss things.
And by the way, we don't know that she might have been a free person.
Yeah.
We don't know that she was a slave.
Right. It might have just been sort of like Jim Crow era, right?
Well, no, it could have been during slavery, but there were lots of free.
That's true. That's also true. Yeah. And also, the it's a Canadian commercial that's sort of saying, this pretty much happened in the United States.
Yeah,
and the
right.
place across the border,
right.
by the way, is us.
Right.
So we are
we are superior.
And I'm sure people got offended by that, too.
So somebody's got a lot of woke people got a lot of questions. Is she a real slave? Is this a real story? Is she a slave? I did a test well in focus groups. Like, people got their panties in the bunch, but I don't know. You guys saw that commercial. What was your take?
I mean, I thought it's kind of a really awesome story, potentially. And I'm sure something like that has happened. And like you said, I would hope that things like this happen. That's kind of – it's nice to think about that. But maybe that's what's so offensive is that right. I'm like
that
taking comfort in that.
Yes, you're overlooking the horrors.
So I get that
Drew,
that might
take?
Be a problem.
I have almost exactly the same as Jordan. I feel like, yeah, that's kind of if I didn't know people reacted to it, I would have thought – That's a nice story.
Ton of outrage. But if we find out it's a real person, I'm sorry, outrage crowd.
I don't see anything about that.
And they should have tried to figure a real person so they'd go, well, excuse you, but this is what happened. This is a true story. That's my
Yeah. I mean, I think even if it were a true story, there'd be people who go, well, why didn't you highlight the other 10 million stories that are true about things that didn't work out that are horrible? And it's like because we're advertising a service. That's why.
Yeah.
We want people to buy our service, not turn the channel.
But right.
The thing that was interesting about that spot is nobody's really offended. The people who made the commercial were trying to sort of extend the olive branch of good race relationship. Everyone turned on them on everyone else's behalf, and I don't even know what it means. So stop listening to people, everybody. Stop asking for permission or stop being affected by what they say.
The woman who said who was in these focus groups, the answer would be that would be if I were in that focus group, I'd have been like, that seems like a beautiful story. You should definitely air that.
Jordan would have been in that focus group.
Yeah.
Right, but so, you're slavery and Holocaust denier.
I'm a CIS white male. Cis, what is it? Cisgendered white male. Yeah, I got nothing.
I got nothing
I'm unqualified.
Either. Still having trouble calling people they.
I don't under. First of all, isn't
that
plural?
Yes. Yeah.
That's funny that's your main problem. You know, I'm also like a grammar Nazi.
Well, I'm not, but I just think of they as more than one person.
It is.
So come up with a different name then, right?
There's a lot of things I wish they'd come up with new names for. A lot of things.
Well, they use Z-I or Z-I-E or S-I.
Yeah, Zim, Zim. And,
I could call someone Zim if they're an overlord commander from another planet. Lieutenant Zim has entered the spacecraft. Everyone stand at attention. He'll crush you with his robotic hand. That's what that is. But they is bound to confuse people.
For
because,
sure.
It's designed to confuse people.
Oh, it's designed?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what did I tell you about that, Drew? Dickheads. Taking over the language so that you can try to correct, so they can correct you, so that you can sort of. It's basically like
Terra versus Tara. Very similar.
Well, this is worse. Even though I hate Terra and Tara, but what this is, here's what this is. The deal is I will get you backpedaling. The whole plan is backpedal. You apologize. You've hurt me. You've crossed the line. You're not pronouncing this correctly. You're not using the wrong terminology. You're not this. It's all to have you stifled. Now, winning arguments is a totally different subject, and they're not going to win any arguments, but they certainly can stifle you because it's the same thing. It's I'm calling you a racist, or I'm calling you homophobic, or you address me this way, or you're mispronouncing this, or you don't understand this. It's all a way to control you without doing the real work, which would be winning the argument. And no one's going to win the argument because I'm right. that's a it's super difficult to beat right people with arguments. So it's like when I was arguing with Gavin Newsom, it took him 10 minutes and then he kind of played the race card because he's not going to win the argument. He's going to win. He's going to throw down the race card and win the argument. That's the way he wins. And once you start sucking off that fucking teat, it's pretty easy. And then you become weak. You become atrophied. Your muscles become weak. You're not very good at winning arguments anymore. Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro can fucking win arguments because they have to stay ninja sharp all the time. Gavin Newsom doesn't have to fucking win an argument. Maxine Waters doesn't have to win a fucking argument. They throw the race card down and it made them soft. It made them weak. Their tools, their weapons are dull because they rely on this.
That's interesting. Yeah, that actually that makes sense, and I see this a lot in every debate, especially online. You see this in debates online. Actually, because I'm a giant nerd, bought a deck of cards that is a cognitive bias and logical fallacy card deck. So you can look through it. Oh, I'll bring you one. They're so fun. Someone goes, "Oh yeah, well you did this too," and you're like, "Oh, that's a logical fallacy. What is it?" And you shuffle through this deck of cards, and you're like, "Oh right, it's the two quote fallacy where you just say, well, that guy did it. So the fact that I did it is fine." Or, you know, this group of people illustrates that this works, and you go, well, wait a minute. This is the Texas sharpshooter bias where you just draw a circle around things that look like they point to it, but you just don't draw it around all these other data points. So I've got this deck of cards, and I just have them laid out all over my nightstand. And whenever people say stuff to me in my email, I'm like, oh, this is one of those. I know it is. I saw this earlier, and I'll point to it. And it lets you link.
It's like you have to go through life with this damn set of cognitive biases.
It's insane. But it shows you also where your own arguments are wrong, which is nice, too. Because, look, some of those are really easy where you're like, oh, yeah, well, you're fat, so you're wrong. It's like, well, all right, this is the ad hominem attack. I'm not going to do that. Most of them are not that obvious. It's nice
to have.
Where
does one get these cards?
You know, if you go to yourlogicalfallacy.is, I think is where they are. I'll double check.
Is it just logical fallacies or cognitive distortions, too?
It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been playing with my terrorist card deck for a long time now. Remember that one? You don't remember the terrorist?
What was that?
What's that?
Come on now.
I don't remember.
You guys don't know the terrorist playing card deck?
Oh, are these like the Iraq Saddam Hussein, where Saddam Hussein is the ace of spades and then like Schwarzkopf?
The blind sheikh is like the jack, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is like the queen of hearts or
they're
something.
They're real. They're real.
All the servicemen had them in the Iraq war.
Okay.
Right. And they give them away to locals.
It was distributed, and it was like a most wanted list.
Yeah. They give them away to locals, and it's like, hey, if you've seen this guy, you can get $10 million.
You got some holes in your game, son.
Got it.
All right. Let's not forget Not Taco Bell Material, my stand-up special. You guys can enjoy that at Chassis and iTunes and Amazon and all that stuff. Jordan Harbinger, The Jordan Harbinger Show, new episodes every week on iTunes and Podcast One. And check out his website, jordanharbinger.com. Check out Gary's new pod, Offbeat, with Ricky Anderson and Mir Harris as well on Podcast One. Jordan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And until next time, Drew, what do you got, sir?
DrDrew.com.
Okay. There you go. Go to DrDrew.com. Until next time, Sam Carroll, Jordan Harbinger, Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for? You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501, it is the best. It is Pluto TV.